This is The Week in Addiction Medicine, a podcast resource of timely news and top stories brought to you by the American Society of Addiction Medicine, ASAM.
Today is Tuesday, April 19th, and I'm Claire Rasmussen. Our lead story this week is from the American Journal of Psychiatry. This study evaluated whether medications for opioid use disorders are associated with reduced risk of suicide mortality. Approximately half of the 61,000 veterans studied received buprenorphine, and a quarter received methadone or naltrexone. The study found that stopping MOUD increased the risk for suicide and all-cause mortality. However, naltrexone did not reduce suicide mortality. Overall, medications for opioid use disorder produced dramatic reductions in both suicide and all-cause mortality, with the effect most pronounced for buprenorphine. Our next study is from the Journal of Clinical Endocrinology and Metabolism and investigates whether fetal exposure to cannabis is associated with increased adiposity and markers of impaired glucose homeostasis in early childhood. The study found that fetal exposure to cannabis was associated with increased adiposity and fasting glucose in early childhood. These results further support discouraging women from using any form of cannabis while pregnant or breastfeeding in order to minimize adverse health effects on the offspring. Next is a study by drug and alcohol dependence, which examines trends in pills containing fentanyl using the national seizure data from high-intensity drug trafficking areas. The study examined data from 2018 to 2021 and found a significant increase in both fentanyl-containing powder seizures and pill seizures during the study period. The study concludes that while the presence of fentanyl in heroin supply is more widely known, the presence of fentanyl in pills also poses a risk, one which is not as widely known, and which suggests the need for greater public education. A new study by Nicotine and Tobacco Research examines cigarette smokers' perceptions about cancerous harm from nicotine. The authors found that 61% of smokers believed that nicotine was the source of cancer risk, or they were not sure. This belief was more common among non-Hispanic, Black, and Hispanic smokers, as well as those with low incomes. Smokers with high school or higher education were less likely to believe that nicotine was the source of risk. This misperception about the risk of nicotine may impact smokers' behavior, and switching to less harmful products and education is needed to correct this commonly held belief. Our next study is by JAMA Network Open and examines the risks and benefits of adults obtaining a medical marijuana card. Immediate acquisition of a medical marijuana card increased the incidence and severity of cannabis use disorder and resulted in no significant improvements in pain, anxiety, or depressive symptoms. However, acquisition of the card did improve self-reported sleep quality. Findings suggest the need for further investigation into the benefits of medical marijuana card ownership for insomnia symptoms and the risk of cannabis use disorder, particularly for those with anxiety or depressive symptoms. Next, a study by American Journal of Case Reports studies baclofen toxicity, which can present both clinically and with EEG abnormalities consistent with anoxic brain injury. The article focuses on a case study of a woman presenting with comatose symptoms for nearly 48 hours, all of which resolved following a supratherapeutic baclofen ingestion. The study concludes that when patients are provided with appropriate supportive care and prolonged observation, full neurological recovery is often seen. Our final article, by the Journal of the American Board of Family Medicine, argues for the decriminalization of the possession of buprenorphine. The authors cite a dramatic reduction in mortality with buprenorphine treatment, in which mortality decreased by 2/3 in one meta-analysis. According to data from other studies, buprenorphine has little risk for overdose when used alone. Furthermore, many people have trouble accessing buprenorphine due to a lack of providers, as well as other economic barriers. The authors conclude that the benefits of decriminalizing buprenorphine possession outweigh the risks. This concludes today's episode of This Week in Addiction Medicine. Remember to subscribe to the ASAM Weekly for more exclusive content and our editor's commentary delivered every Tuesday. Be sure to check us out on social media and asam.org. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.